What really gets my dick hard is...
So fucking what? Hate is a train. The thunder's aimless to my head.
Welcome to Metal Up Your Podcast. I'm Ethan Luck.
And I'm Clint Wells.
And this is episode number 42. And this week we are talking about the very long, however, very short in track length, Beyond Magnetic EP.
It's a paradox. It's very long and very short.
Yeah. It's two things in one, which is really hard to do nowadays.
Yeah, almost impossible physically.
Yeah, I don't know anybody else that can do it.
I had a pretty good time listening to this record this last week.
Yeah. So, yeah, same here, man. Yeah. It's one of those things when it came out, I was excited for some extra songs from those sessions. And just to hear, cause that's not really a common thing they do. They might record, you know, some on purpose B sides or cover songs, you know, i.e. Bread Fan and the Prince and stuff like that. But you know, you don't often hear like, oh, here's a song that you never heard off of Master of Puppets that they did in that same session, you know? So it was a nice treat after Death Magnetic to hear these four songs, something extra that they gave to the fans.
Yeah. I'm mildly ashamed to say I checked it out when it came out, and I don't remember disliking it, but I've not really given it a lot of love and time, so...
Yeah. Before we decided to do this episode, I would definitely listen to it here and there, and man, the more I dove into it, the more I can definitely say, I almost wish that these were just on the record, and it was an even longer album.
I think two of them definitely could/should have been.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll get into that when we break it all down. We want to just briefly mention, we're doing this new thing. We've opened back up the old iTunes review contest. And this time, instead of sending pics to everybody or koozies or whatever, Ethan and I, thanks to the generous donations of our patrons, we've bought the new upcoming Master of Puppets Deluxe box set.
Correct.
Which is badass. It comes with 10 CDs and 3 vinyls and a lithograph and a cassette tape and a booklet. And so we've got one of those coming out.
I might leave a review for ourselves just to see if I can win it.
Yeah. What if we draw the name? So we're drawing the name at the end of November. What if we draw it and it's Ethan Luck?
Oh, that's weird. It's Clint Luck. What an interesting name.
So for those of you wondering about details about that, if you've already left a review, you're eligible to win this thing. So
yes, correct.
The box set comes out. It's being delivered to my house on November 10th.
And, awesome.
We're going to pick the name randomly. There's nothing you can do to win favor. It's going to be totally random.
Yeah.
We're going to do that at the end of November. It's going to be kind of like a Christmas gift. And we just thought that'd be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, speaking of that box set, if any of you guys have listened to Speak and Destroy by my friend Ryan Downey, he's also running a similar contest, but he's given out the Kill 'Em All box set.
So we just need to get old Tom Quee over at Alpha Metallica to do Ride the Lightning, and then you can listen to all of our podcasts, and you can be the winner of all three of these luxurious box sets.
Exactly. It's almost like we're about to start teaming up without really talking about teaming up.
It's like we're going to start like an intramural volleyball team and just take it around the nation.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe even North America, maybe even Canada.
Oh, yeah. Oh, eh?
Hey, hey. You like volleyball, eh?
So that's
sorry,
what that is.
Sorry.
Sorry. So if you go leave us that review, you are eligible to win this box set. It's just a fun way for us all to get what we want here in life.
Yeah, exactly. And as you guys have listened since day one, you know, we've really only not given away things and done an iTunes review contest for only about a month, you know, after the pick contest was over. Couldn't quit it, but you know, as you know, we've been giving away, you know, picks and patches and stickers and all that stuff. So why not up the ante, have something like this box set to give out to you guys, and we hope you leave us a good review and enter your name.
And we're going to be doing contests like this, I think, periodically throughout the year. So it's all just fun. It's fun sauce.
Yeah.
So the patrons, here's what the Patreon is. It's a place where you can go, where everybody knows your name.
Where everybody knows your name.
It's in Boston. It's patreon.com. There's all sorts of different tiers of how you can give back to the show, if you're so inclined, if you would like to. And it makes things like that box set possible. We got three new patrons, and I want to list their names. Julian Cueva G. Canton, Elizabeth Gleaton, and Fernando Emming. are our new patrons. Thanks,
thank
guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
At the very least, you get a shout out on the show. But tell them about the old EP sauce.
Ooh, the old EP is coming along nicely. It is almost done. I just left to go back on the road, so I'm going to be kind of tidying up my three songs while on the road and sending them to our good buddy Nathan Thomas to mix. But yeah, one of the things you can do, I believe it's if you pledge $5 or more, you get access to a 6-song cover EP by me and Clint, and it's going to be pretty cool. I did the Freight Ends of Sanity, Sanitarium, and the Unforgiven 3. And Clint did.
I did Fixer, The Outlaw Torn, and Lowman's Lyric. And I've decided I've also done a cover of The Unnamed Feeling. So even if you only pledge $1, you'll get The Unnamed Feeling. But I think you got to pledge 5 or more to get the whole EP.
Correct. But yeah, you guys can go on there, patreon.com/metalupyourpodcast, and read through all the different tiers of things you can get and be a part of the show and help us out. And we help you out. And it's just a big collaborative team Metalla effort here.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just fun shit.
And who doesn't love fun shit?
I mean, I love the shit out of fun shit.
No joke, man. Hey, how about we get to some emails?
All right, let's do emails. Okay, we get emails every week. We get hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them. Somehow, through the miracle of science, we whittle it down to 10. If you want to have your email read on our show, you can email us at metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com. You want to start us off?
I would love to start us off. Our first email is from Chris Maffey. He says, "What's up, Brother Jack dudes?" Never heard that one, but hey, what's up, Brother Jack dude yourself? I've spent the last month binge listening through all the episodes of the podcast, and I just want to say how much I love how much I've enjoyed it. I'm really glad I decided to type Metallica into the podcast, into Pocket Casts. That's another app. I'm assuming that's Android. Because I've been a huge Metallica on a big Metallica kick lately, and you guys have kind of made my guide through rediscovering one of my favorite bands ever. Awesome. As a musician and someone who really who's really into audio/music production, I really love when you guys geek out and get technical. Definitely keep that up. We shall. This is really interesting right here. He says, and being a big wrestling fan, I always get a kick out of the Hulk Hogan impressions, but especially when you guys play clips from the Hulk Rules album. I actually do a podcast about the music of pro wrestling. Very cool and very unique. And a while back, we did an episode reviewing that album, which was .. quite an experience. I'm sure it was.
Oh my God.
Check out the pump, brother.
Wanna know?
What's up, dude? I was born, I was bred, I was southern fed. Got a crazy idea running through my head. California is a place that I had to be. Then a speech in the pit really set me free.
Oh yeah. Check out Python, baby. Would you look at that?
And in the spirit of Metallica, the most recent episode we recorded is dedicated to Metallica and the various instances their music is being used in wrestling. He ends the email by saying, anyway, I just want to thank you two for the countless hours of entertainment. It's nice looking forward to Mondays for once. Chris from Long Island, New Jersey. And by the way, the podcast that he's talking about where he talks about the music of professional wrestling is called Music of the Mat.
Yeah, and I actually went and listened to the Hulk Rules episode today. It's pretty funny. It's Chris and a co-host. I can't remember the co-host's name. Maybe Andrew. Maybe Bartholomew. I don't know.
They're both from New Jersey. It's all we know.
I guess they're big wrestling fans, but they break this. They kind of do a track by track the way that Ethan and I do on our records. And they treat it very seriously. Like they really take a look at the lyrics. They take a look at the music.
That's awesome.
It's pretty funny. So it's called Music of the Mat. I would recommend checking it out. And thanks, Chris, for the email.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Louis Lima writes, "Hello, my friends, Clint and Ethan. It's Louis from. Is it Louis? Is that right?
I think Louis or Luis.
Louis. It's Louis. I'm gonna say Luis because it sounds sexier.
Well, he's from Brazil.
Oh, it's Luis from Brazil, and I want to say thank you for the pics that you sent me. Yeah, so my wife actually did that while I was out on the road. I just put them in an envelope, and I was like, I don't know how much this is going to cost, but we're sending them to Brazil today. So I guess they made it. That's good. Thank you for the pics that you sent me. Much love, respect, and thanks to you and your work on this podcast and fan base. I hope the podcast never ends, and when you come to Rio de Janeiro, I'll buy you a beer. Keep up the good work and keep bleeding Metallica. Luis Lima. Thanks, dude.
Thank you, Luis. Yeah, our beer tab is going international now. Pretty awesome.
We've still yet to actually meet someone for a beer, haven't we?
Well, you know what's funny is I'm actually recording right now in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Lori Laker.
Lori.
Yeah, and so I've been super busy all day, like seeing friends and one of the bass players of my old band. And so if I have time tonight, I might hit him up and see if he might want to meet up for a beer. Maybe we'll cash in on the first one.
I guess I'll just be over here sobbing.
Drinking your wine coolers.
Drinking Franzia in the goddamn shower. Just shitting and crying.
Yeah. All right. Shitting and crying.
Wow. I like how you were like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Been there, man.
Yeah, you are.
Right. Anyways, moving on. Our next email comes from Dustin Enochs. Hey guys, first off, congrats on the success of the podcast.
Congrats on the sex of the podcast.
And by the way, we're not sure what the sex of the podcast is. Let me start that one over. Hey guys, yeah. First off, congrats on the success of the podcast. I've tuned in every week since the fourth episode. Some of the topics you guys discuss, only real Metallica fans understand. I've been a Metallica fan since I was 7 due to my dad always listening to their records, and their sound got my attention from then on, except for Saint Anger, of course. I have seen Metallica twice, the first time in 2004, and then just recently at Rock on the Range Festival. Very cool. Which is the best show I've ever witnessed. My favorite album, if I had to pick, would be Ride the Lightning, but I feel that is a rotating answer because I like all their albums except the fucking headache called Saint Anger.
Mm.
Don't worry, we'll get to that episode. Hopefully you guys know what you're doing. Hopefully you guys...
We don't.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing. Hopefully you guys know that what you're doing is appreciated, and thank you so much. P.S. Clint, stay away from the Four Locos when you're in Ohio. Those goddamn things belong to the devil.
I can't help it, man. I'm from Alabama. There's a bit of redneck in me. And when I go into a store and there's a 14% can of alcohol for a dollar, like 60.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
There's just something in me that just has to buy it.
It's a steal, like, man.
But have you ever had these, Ethan?
No. I actually value the health of my heart.
Well, when you pour them out, because I often will drink like 5 sips and then either not be drinking anymore or do something else. But when you pour it out, it's like Ecto Cooler. It looks like poison.
It probably is poison in a can. Carbonated poison.
Thank you so much, Dustin Enochs. That's a pretty bitchin' last name.
Yeah, it totally is.
Dustin Enochs.
Unless it's Enoch.
Enoch. Enoch's Enoch. All right. Our next email's from our friends over at the Old Single Podcast Theory.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, brothers, I watched Who the Fuck Is That Guy on Netflix a couple days ago and really liked Michael. Then I heard your interview with him and I fell in love. What an incredibly genuine, sweet, funny dude. We agree. He says,
we totally agree.
I got choked up when Michael was talking about Cliff. I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about Cliff before from a personal angle like that. And I love how he kept saying that he wanted these bands to, quote unquote, be a part of his life. What an awesome way to think about it instead of just as some band he wanted to sign. I also love hearing him talk about the 598 EP Injustice, since there's not a ton of stuff out there about those albums, which are my favorites. I hope there's a part two someday. Like you guys, I could listen to someone like that talk music for hours on end. Thanks for another great episode. Brad Blazik from the Old Single Podcast Theory.
Oh, yeah. If you like Pod Jam, go Pod Jam. What is my problem today? Jeez.
I like Pod Jam.
Pod Jam
I really
rules,
do.
Man. Hey, brother, I've heard Pod Jam. They're pretty sick. if you haven't heard Single Podcast Theory, it's an all Pearl Jam podcast done by our friend Brad Blazik and Brad Lyons. It's really awesome.
And it's really good. I listen every week and it's real similar to our show. So if you guys are Pearl Jam fans, you're really going to love that shit. It's again, it's Pod Jam.
Pod Jam. Great band. Gosh, you know what it is? The altitude here in Denver, it's gotten me, my head a little spinny and I'm just like...
You know, you do got to be, because you went and had lunch with a bud. Like when you're out there at those high altitudes, you got to drink differently, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not drinking right now. I'm drinking water just to stay hydrated for this.
You got to do heroin a little differently out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, totally. All right.
Thanks, Brad Blazik, and the Single Podcast Theory.
Yeah, Pod Jam. Go Pod Jam.
Wait, Pod Jam.
Our next email is from Sanglish 16. Hi, Clint and Ethan. Another rad episode. How cool is Michael? I like the down to earth and hilarious that guy is. I'm loving the podcast and spreading the word as well. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers again for this cool conversation with an A&R legend. I loved how fearless and underrated Michael was/is with his career path. A great inspiration to all us as musicians, artists, music lovers, etc. Horns up, Sean. Thanks, Sean. That's some really good, some very nice things to say about Michael, and we can't agree more, man. That, we had a blast talking to him, and we have since, you know, texted / emailed him a little bit, and he's been really stoked on the response of that episode we did with him.
Yeah, he actually called me yesterday, and he wants me to send him, like, every bit of merch we have.
That's
awesome.
I want
the t-shirt, I want the sticker, I want the koozie,
I want the koozie.
He does. All right, Chad Pollock writes, "Gents, the anticipation about your St. Anger review mimics the anticipation I felt for the album itself. No pressure, but I hope your review isn't as big a letdown as the album was." Well, it's going to sound better than the album, I can tell you
it
that
will
much.
Sound better.
Fidelity of the recording will be better.
Unless we insert, like, every time we say I, it's like a king.
Oh, my God. You know what?
You know what, Clint? Recently, King, been listening to St. Anger a lot, and King think it still sounds like garbage.
Maybe it's just you saying King would be better than even adding that.
Than the actual sample? Okay, I'll work on that.
Are you saying Ting or King?
King. I would say King or Ting.
King.
One of the two is fine.
He says, to my point, as you drill down into it more, aside from the sonic issues, the album's way too bloated. The songs are much longer than they need to be, and the lyrics repeat way too often. The songs are of epic length without epic content. This could have been an epic punk hard rock anthem. Bail on the worst two or three songs, reduce the overall lengths of the songs, add a bit of ear candy that Kirk parts that were cut down on the rinse repeat. Oh, cut down on the rinse repeat lyrics, and it could have been fucking awesome. Like 35 to... I don't know how he landed on this number. 35 to 37 minutes of all those great riffs and quote-unquote healthy anger, and it would have fucking rocked. I generally agree with everything he's saying. I think you all are going to be a bit surprised by some of my thoughts about St. Anger, but the problem here is that there's no consensus on... He says bail on the worst two or three songs. I mean, I'm taking the pulse on St. Anger on the forums and elsewhere. No one really agrees what those two or three bad songs are.
I think so. I mean, I could probably pick 2 to 3 songs I would take off of it, but I could probably pick 10 songs I take off of it. So,
wait, how many songs are on there again?
I think 9. No. You know, this is all stuff where we're definitely going to try to get into in that St. Anger episode,
sure.
which will be in the next few weeks, I believe. I just got back on the road, and so we thought let's do Beyond Magnetic, just, you know, because we're kind of getting back into that remote recording world. But yeah, don't worry, Chad. We will definitely we'll get to that episode, and maybe we can whittle it down and make it a punk rock record. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Well, thanks, man. Next email is from our longtime listener and good friend, Jean Froman.
Also a patron of the show. Thank
also
you,
a patron
Jean.
Of the show. Yes, thank you. And she's also lately on Instagram been posting like old photos of her from high school and stuff. It's been pretty awesome.
Nice.
She says, hey, guys, I recently turned a coworker of mine onto your podcast. He loves it, and he's now going back and listening to all the episodes. I was chatting with him today, and he thought it would be cool to do an episode about the bands that Metallica is helping to raise / bring up as a part of the next generation of metal / rock. Thanks again for the great episode with Ilago from Gene. Thank you, Gene. That's a good idea. I mean,
well, who would those bands be? I mean, would it be like Volbeat and Lamb of God, like the people they take on tour?
It'd probably be the people that maybe more currently take on tour, because, I mean, back in the day, you can't say, like, oh, look, they helped bring up Guns N' Roses, you know? I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say what the next generation is when Metallica has spanned 3 generations.
Well, I know they're really big fans. Like, I know that, you know, James is a big fan of Ghost. They had Ghost
totally.
At the Orion Festival. James is a big fan of, what's that band that starts with a G? Everyone loves them. I can't say it.
Gojira?
There you go. Gojira.
Yeah. Yeah.
They love those dudes. And they're Volbeat fans. And maybe that's what they mean. That would be fun to talk about that.
It would be cool. You know, I mean, I guess, yeah, they're more saying, her coworker saying more specific to metal. But I mean, you know, obviously you got like James that has such a wide taste in music. You know, they had, you know, Gojira to Rocket from the Crypt on Orion and stuff like that.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's a really cool thing to think about. And is it episode worthy? I'm not really sure. Maybe we can do a revisited or something.
I think so too.
Yeah, well, let us think about it.
Thanks, Gene.
Thank you, Gene.
The Gene Meister.
The Genester.
Steamroller Action. We haven't heard from this guy in a while. Steamroller Action writes, "Hey guys, I listened to the Reload episode last night, an album I've never heard before in its entirety, which is fascinating." He says, "And I'm listening to it again right now. I can't say I love it, but I sure don't hate it at all, and I'm enjoying it for what it is. Yes, the Alice in Chains influence is definitely there. I think the coughing at the end of Bad Seed is a reference to the beginning of Sabbath Sweetleaf." Now, I am going through a massive Sabbath thing for the really kind of the first time in my life. I've always loved them. Yeah. I always had Paranoid and always had Ozzy's 80s shit, but I'm like deep, deep into the 70s Sabbath stuff. And
yeah, it's good stuff.
He is right. That Sweet Leaf cough is almost identical to the cough in Bad Seed. So
yeah.
He goes on to say, another thing from the Reload episode, I have to defend Kill 'Em All lyrics after your multiple bashings. The full lyric from Kill 'Em All is, we'll never stop, we'll never quit, because we're Metallica. He says, number one, that line has helped keep me going through a lot in the 33 years since I first heard it. Number two, I believe it's kept the band going and has defined them. Number three, you'll likely already know this, but when they play Whiplash Live, James sings, we'll never stop, we'll never quit, because you're Metallica. So there, winky face.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. We've talked about this a lot in previous episodes with lyrics. They can mean different things to different people. And obviously, in this case, to Steamroll Action, it means a lot to him. And it's gotten him through a lot of stuff. And we agree with all your points here. Of course, it's gotten the band through their whole career. I mean, that was almost like a mission statement for them back then, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, you know, we were mostly kind of poking fun at, you know, No Laugh Till Leather going to kick some ass tonight.
Yeah, it was more of their fascination with leather. Which
yeah,
is
that.
Funnier.
And I think we can now confirm that they did, however, kick ass that night.
Right. But the night in question, they did kick ass. So
yeah, they
which
did.
Is good.
In leather.
And we can also confirm that night that they were Metallica.
We can. And if you haven't heard, they're still together. They're still Metallica.
Yeah, they haven't stopped and they haven't quit yet. So
oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Mission statement still going. Well, thank you, Steamroller Action.
Would you say that we just got steamrolled a little bit?
Yeah, we got steamrolled for sure. Yeah.
Damn.
You've been steamrolled, brothers.
Thanks, Steamroller Action.
Thanks, bud. Next email is from Fernando Emming, who is also a brand new patron. Thank you, sir.
Fernando.
He says, hey, dudes, my name is Fernando Emming from New York City, New Jersey, but born and raised in Sao Paulo, Brazil. That is a beautiful, beautiful place. I've been there, which, of course, is also New Jersey. I've been listening to the Metallica since I saw them, the Enter Sandman video on MTV. I was 11 and remember asking my parents to buy me that Metallica record. Funny enough, they bought me Injustice for All instead. I could not stop listening to that tape. It is my favorite album. Really hope for a 30 years tour next year. Fingers crossed. I think all of our fingers are crossed for some kind of tour, something
yeah,
special,
the box set. Yeah, I've got fingers crossed, and I've got my butt crossed for that.
Yeah, I've got my cheeks are crossed, man.
You ever done that? You ever crossed
yeah.
your butt? Okay,
doing
good.
I'm doing it right now until that shit gets released. been uncomfortable, cramping up a little bit. Fernando goes on to say, also, I've been to around 30 concerts. The first was 1993, and probably the best one at Webster Hall last year. Well, our friend Gene Frohman was there.
Yeah, and so was Sarah and Pete.
Yeah, there was a good Metal Pier podcast crew there. Little did they know they were a part of our crew back then. We got you.
I felt like that warranted an evil villain laugh.
He goes on to say, I was also fortunate to win Met Club meet and greet in 2009, one of the last that James actually showed up, and I was able to meet Jason as well when he was touring with his band Newstead, which, by the way, you should listen to his album, really good. And Torben during the Orion Festival. He met Torben. That's great.
Oh, cool.
You know, I remember this boy from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Great and full of life, and I invited him aboard my carpet. That's great, Torben. Thank you for sharing that.
We flew around the Orion Festival.
Yes, we went and saw Rocket from the Crypt, and we saw Gojira. And my son Lars had some artwork hanging up, too.
My son Lars. Yes, my son is Lars. He plays the drums.
He plays the drums in Metallica. Have you heard of them? They will not quit or stop. Anyways, this is fun. Fernando, that's fun to say. Fernando goes on to say, just want to thank you all. Thank you for coming up with the podcast.
I met this boy, Fernando.
Sorry, man.
You're such a nice boy.
Church giggles during the emails. This is good. So he goes on to say, just want to thank you for coming up with the podcast. You guys totally make me feel like I'm a part of the conversation. Totally, for sure. I'm the head chapter of the New York City Militia. Whenever you're in New York City, New York, not dirty Jersey, let me know and beers and pizza are on me. Anyways, thank you. Thank you again and keep going. You have no idea how much, not only me, but many others appreciate what you guys are doing. Metal up your ass. Well, Fernando, thanks so much for your story, man. That's awesome. And, gosh, yeah. We have listened to Newstead stuff. It is really cool. It's not anything that really grabs me and I'm like, wow, I have to listen to this all the time. But it's some good, solid metal. It's good.
It's yeah, it's like I watched like the whatever the music videos they put out for his record, Heavy Metal Music. pretty killer riffs.
Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah.
I do need to sit down and give it some more time though. I really do.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, Fernando. It's always good to hear from these chapter heads who like the show. That's great.
Yeah, man. I love it.
Our last email is from St. Matthew. He writes, Clint and Ethan, these past two James Hetfield episodes are absolutely amazing, and I want to thank you for all that you do. It wasn't until the most recent episode that I thought to do my own top five riffs thrown together from songs that, as far as I know, were written primarily or entirely by Papa Het. Number five, Harvester of Sorrow. Number four, an odd submission, Shoot Me Again from St. Adudu. Number three, Don't Tread on Me. Number two, Leper Messiah. Number one favorite riff, Ronnie.
Whoa, dude.
Which is a badass riff, I gotta admit, but number yeah. one.
Number one. Wow, that's bold, my friend.
That was just a clip of the record
it's,
right there.
It's
by
got
the way.
That riff has got some swagger to it, man.
It's one of my favorites on Load for yeah. sure.
For sure.
He says honorable mention for Nothing Else Matters, a minimalist acoustic masterpiece of a riff and a song. I agree.
Yeah.
The finger stylings and all that really pretty classical sounding stuff, it's pretty masterful. It's pretty,
yeah, I think
and
so.
It's actually
yeah.
pretty, it's actually pretty strange if you sit down
yeah,
and learn it.
For sure.
He says it was tough to make the list, but as Clint pointed out, it's a bit more exciting or contentious with only five to rank. Plus, it's a slippery slope going for the big songs because many of them were written by Kurt Cliff or, as Ethan found out, Jason with Blacken. Blacken would have been my number one. Anyway, you two are the best, and you remain one of the best podcasts. Cheers. Thanks, St. Matthew.
Hey, listen, St. Matthew. I knew Jason wrote it. I just had a brain fart, my friend, all right?
He just farted on his brain.
Yeah, man. I was like, and then black and... Oh, shit. It was Jason Newsted.
I just farted on my brain.
Okay.
What's that guy?
I don't know. It's almost bordering like Butthead. I don't even want to. I don't want to be the guy that's doing Beavis and Butthead impressions. But I don't know. I'm developing a new character. I'm in Denver. Maybe it's like a stoner guy or something.
Like, it sounds like a guy on Reddit, to be honest with you.
Hey man, I'm on fucking Reddit, man. It's fucking cool. It's fucking Reddit, man. I talk shit to Metallica fans and fuck. That's cool. Well, there's the emails, everybody.
All right, there go the emails.
Well, I think it's about time to talk about a little EP called Beyond Magnetic.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. It's four songs. They're some of the longest songs of Metallica's catalog.
Yeah, I mean, four songs is clocking in at almost 30 minutes here.
Yeah, and I believe that, is it Just to Pull It Away? One of them is about 8 minutes long. Oh, no, it's that Rebel of Babylon.
Rebel of Babylon is really long, yeah.
So we're going to get into this. There's a lot of great riffs, a lot of great stuff to talk about. The housekeeping crap of it is the same as Death Magnetic, because we all know this, right? They come from the same sessions, so
yep.
Produced by Rick Rubin, engineered by Greg Fiddleman.
Oh, Greggy.
They made a point to say that these are rough mixes, which I just got to say, well, they kind of sound like Death Magnetic to me, and Death Magnetic
they do,
kind of is roughly mixed.
It is roughly mixed, but I mean, I really feel like these, to me, sound a bit better.
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
I think they do, and I think maybe because they were rough mixes, they didn't spend as much time on them, and maybe they were actually, I'm not positive, but maybe they were mastered separately.
Well,
or actually because they were rough mixes, they were actually probably mixed quieter, because that was the big, you know, deal with that record and why people were complaining about the audio quality was because it was mixed too loud before it went to mastering.
I know that when I was, because I don't know if you did this, but I kind of tried to go through and see where they might fit on the record if we included them. And they are quieter songs. I don't know if they were not mastered or if they're mastered differently or what, but.
Probably mastered a little differently, but.
I don't get why when they were going to actually release it, why not have it mixed, you know? Like, why not just full on mix it? Because it's a legitimate EP.
It is, yeah. And I mean, they can call it a rough mix. I mean, to me, I think it sounds good. I think it honestly sounds a little bit better than what we know as Death Magnetic. And I think it's because it was mastered differently or mastered separately.
James has gone on to say that, because by the way, none of these have really been played live except for the one time at the 30th anniversary shows.
Right.
Hell and Back made it into the set for about 15 shows. But
yeah,
James went on to say, like, he said that it was similar to Reload in the sense that these aren't throwaways or leftovers or B-sides. I think that's maybe true for half of it for me. I think maybe
right,
like more of them for that than me. But I don't think I would want anything on Death Magnetic to go away to make room for these songs.
I think if I mean, let's do this. If you had to pick one song to go away on Death Magnetic and replace it with one off of Beyond Magnetic, I would probably get rid of Suicide and Redemption. And yeah. I would probably put either, it's a toss-up between Hate Train and Rebel of Babylon.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said Suicide Redemption, because I was sure you were going to say the Judas Kiss and it was gonna butt hurt me.
your butt wouldn't have been crossed anymore.
I'd have to uncross my butt to receive the steamroller action wound.
Yeah, that would hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, I would take off Suicide Redemption too, and I would probably add Rebel of Babylon.
Yeah.
But we are getting ahead of ourselves, so let's dive into Hate Train. Here's a little bit of Hate Train. Yeah,
here we go. This is our track by track.
Track by track.
Here are my initial notes. I wrote, badass intro, feels like classic Metallica.
It does. It definitely does. It does come out of the gate super strong.
Yeah.
Bitchin' riffs, gets kind of fast. And I think the execution, the way they played it is really good and tight. When I first heard it, it got me excited for these extra songs.
Me too. And one thing I can definitely say about these EPs is that they're just filled with great riffs. Just fucking filled with them.
Filled, yes.
The only thing that strikes me off the bat that I would be critical of is, I don't know if we need a Kirk Hammett solo at the top of the song.
I agree with you partially. It reminded me of kind of old school Metallica, where that has happened on previous records, like on
Yeah,
Come
what was
All
it?
Or,
was it No Remorse or Phantom Lord? One of those kind of starts with a guitar
solo. No Remorse did.
Yeah.
Crap, there's another B-side. I'm blanking off the top of my head right now that had it too.
On Kill 'Em All?
No. It was like during Justice. Was it The Prince or Bread Fan? No, Bread Fan.
Oh, one of the B-sides. Oh, okay. I think that's Symphony of Destruction.
I think it's Symphony of Destruction. I think you're right.
Oh my God. The Reddit guy just shit his pants.
Yeah.
That's Megadeth, dude.
Dude, what the hell, man?
You're right. They don't do it a lot, so maybe it is kind of cool that it's that kind of woggy octave thing, and then it's kind of a shred thing. And I guess I am like kind of a traditionalist in the sense that let's get to that first verse and chorus before we open up the old guitar razor blades.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe their goal with these four songs were like even longer than the record, and they just say, "Hey, fuck it, let's throw a solo at the beginning too."
Yeah.
Although I guess in as a whole, if you included these with that, with Death Magnetic in that session, maybe when they were recording this song, it was like, "Hey, we don't have one song that starts with a solo yet. Let's throw one in here." You know,
right?
Who knows what their process was back then? But could we do without it? Probably. Does it bother me that much? Nah.
Yeah, well, and it is that same kind of Kirk, if you've heard our Death Magnetic episode, you've heard us talk at length about how excited we are about Kirk's guitar playing in this era. So I will say this, he sounds great. The solos are cool. They're fast and tight. And
very
unique,
too.
Not a lot of Sloppy Joe stuff. It's pretty bitchin'.
Yeah, agreed.
And some of the riffs in Hate Train, did you notice they kind of like sound like Fuel? There's a lot of the bound, a bound, a bound, a bound, a bound.
Yeah, totally.
Which I any hat tips to that era I love.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, this would have been 10 years later.
There's a lot of stuff on this song. I mean, really the whole EP in general, but on this song too, that like they kind of go into that territory of how I describe Hardwired, where there's a lot of pulls from different era of Metallica in just one song. Oh, this riff reminds me of Load, Reload. This riff reminds me of Kill 'Em All through their catalog. So I that's why I really enjoy the riffs on this song and EP.
Yeah. One of the other like critical notes I have, and this is true for the whole EP, not just Hate Train, but And it's the sort of the problem of Death Magnetics. And so some people may think that this is the sound of it, some people whatever, but you know, the vocals are just so dry.
Mm-hmm, they are.
And the drums are so loud. Like I wish it was mixed with a little more of that Greg Fiddleman or Bob Rock TLC, you know?
Yeah, totally. You know what would be a fun idea, just like in our downtime, is to import these songs and Death Magnetic into Logic, like find the unmastered versions, do a little bit of mastering, but then add a little bit of like overall reverb to the stereo track and see if it like makes a difference. So, I mean, it would make a difference, obviously, but see if we like it better or worse. It might be kind of a fun experiment to do and then maybe share it with our listeners.
Well, and I actually need to check and see. One of our listeners sent us... Actually, a few of them have sent us the stems from Death Magnetic from the game that they made.
Oh, from Guitar Hero, yeah.
From Guitar Hero. And all the vocals are like on their own channel. So I wonder if we can even do like a kind of like a mix like that. I don't know if the Beyond Magnetic tunes are on there. So I love that down chorus, the You Took Away Tomorrow chorus.
Yes.
Very Unforgiven 3-ish.
I love that. Because the song, it's pretty heavy and pretty fast at times. And then it was kind of a surprise when I first heard the song. They went to a down chorus like on track one of this thing. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's a really kind of like emotional sounding lyric. And it's a great moment for there to be a little bit more delay or reverb on his voice.
Exactly, yeah. I 100% agree with that.
But it's just that kind of, it's that Death Magnetic sauce, you know?
It is, for sure.
There's a cool solo. I like the solo. But I actually have this in there. I wonder if we can even put a clip of it. But he does this, like, ambulance lick.
Yeah, it gets faster and faster.
That's pretty much the exact same lick from My Apocalypse.
It is, yeah.
And it kind of bums me out.
Kind of rips himself off.
Which, you know, is permissible, of course. But
that's the part of the solo he starts with that thing, right?
It's the solo after the third verse of Hate Train. So yeah, he does a solo. Then there's like a third verse, and then he starts, it's at like 5 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about for sure. Yeah,
it's a cool sound, it's just weird that it's kind of like on the same record, you know, it's like the same family of songs.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was another one of those tricks Kirk was doing, kind of like when he does his... like goes down the fretboard really fast. He does that on like 10 Metallica songs.
Or shouldn't have. You know what? It sounded like you were saying shouldn't have.
That's what I thought you were saying.
I was saying shit enough.
What were you saying? Shouldn't have.
Yeah, like you were saying, like shouldn't have done it. You know, like shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have. I'm saying shit enough.
Shouldn't have. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying shouldn't have.
Yeah. It's an exact science almost about how to sing guitar parts.
Yeah. We're still getting it down. I think we're going to take some courses this winter.
We're actually writing the textbook. So.
Yeah, we are. That's true.
I will say, Hate Train, I like it. You guys just heard me talk about it. It's probably my least favorite of the four. It feels
really.
It's not even the longest song on the EP, but it feels the longest to me.
Okay,
it's about seven minutes long, and towards the end, they just keep stacking riffs and different left turns, and I'm just kind of like,
they do.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Okay, I wouldn't say this is my least favorite, but okay, that's yours. All right.
Let's talk about Just a Bullet Away.
To Bullet Away. Maybe my least favorite chorus on this EP. Suck.
What's crazy about that, the chorus is, when has a chorus for Metallica ever been over such an intense riff?
Yeah, that's
you
true.
You know what I mean? It's like this kind of climby, intense, fast riff.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't love the chorus either.
I like his execution. I like his passion and his voice. The anger in his voice, but just the lyrics are kind of like, really? Suck until it's dry?
Yeah, suck. Yeah, and again, with the effects that are on his vocals, the whole shine of a midnight revolver, I don't want to hear him say that at the end of every verse. Like, I think like that gets repeated too much.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a little bit kind of like what don't kill you make you more strong vibe.
Right, where it just keeps going and the way it's unnecessary.
And the way he says revolver, it sounds like he's saying revival.
Revival.
Shaun of a Midnight Revival.
Yeah, for sure. But it, I mean, the riffs in the song are cool. The song has a great feel to it.
It does. The riffs are fucking awesome.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you haven't actually heard these songs, like, please do yourself a favor and listen to them, because there's some really good stuff on here that I wish was on Death Magnetic, but I'm glad we actually have it.
One of my biggest takeaways from the whole thing was, like, if you like Metallica, you're going to like this shit. I mean, it's straight up through and through Metallica.
Absolutely, for sure.
So it's nothing but good news. I will say they've only done it once again. They did it this one on December 7th at the 30th anniversary shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like this one better live. Like, they're kind of in it a little more live.
And, for sure.
It comes off better, especially the vocal problems that I have with it on the recording mm-hmm. are a little more smoothed over live.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, when they did the 30th anniversary shows, they did one of these songs every night.
Right. Well, and that was when they kind of dropped the bomb. Because I don't think bits of these songs fans had heard before they played them live at those shows at the Fillmore. Do you remember this Mission Metallica thing?
Yes.
I was kind of offline then, but when they were making Death Magnetic, they had this thing called Mission Metallica, which were daily video updates from the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so people people had heard little snips and pieces of these songs through the Mission Metallica shit.
Yes.
So it was a pretty big treat when they were like, hey, first of all, we're going to play these songs for you each night. And I think the week after those shows, they made it available for, like, iTunes.
Which is very cool. And put that on the chalkboard is another reason why Metallica loves their fans and how, you know, we're grateful for that. Cause
is it a chalkboard or is it a dry erase board? Do I have options here?
We'll call it a dry erase board. Like, you know, what they use in the studio for their track listing and what they're recording and marking off. And I mean, I'll use a chalkboard. Just don't run your fingernails against it.
Hey, speaking of classic Metallica, how about the middle section to the song where it strips down and there's kind of that clean part and the guitar harmony?
Yes.
It's one of my favorite moments on the whole EP.
Yes, very cool. Yeah, the guitar harmony part is really cool. It's just it's one of those beautiful parts. Again, kind of like, you know, the down chorus of Hate Train, on just a bold way. Like, I didn't expect that to kind of come out of the song.
Yeah, it's and have very this beautiful dynamic. Part. It's very cool.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Obviously a song about suicide. That's pretty dark subject matter.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when you find out it's about suicide and the song's called Just a Bullet Away, it's like, ooh, wow, that is, that's heavy stuff. But I mean, Hetfield's always, you know, he's always been known to write from either his heart or from experience or from, even if it's fictional, you know, he's always writing from a deep, deep place and meaningful place.
And, you know, he was writing under the, you know, the title of the record's Death Magnetic, so these are all the themes, and it would very much fit in thematically with Death Magnetic, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Someone who's drawn to suicide.
Right.
Hell and Back, what do you think?
Hell and Back is very cool. This might be my least favorite.
It's my second favorite. Yeah,
I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all.
I feel like that kind of cool, ominous intro thing, I feel like it's not stuff they've done a lot before. It sounds kind of different and new to me for them, which is, you know, that's nice.
And I would say that an intro like that is something that they don't really do, is another reason why I would love to hear a track like this on Death Magnetic.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, they've done experimental stuff, but this was a lot different than what you used to hearing for a Metallica intro. So,
see, I would like to see this one go in place of Suicide and Redemption, because I feel like we get such a, like, barn burner in My Apocalypse mm-hmm. that I would like for the one right before it to be kind of more dynamic, starts down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it would be more of a journey instead of, like, Hate Train's kind of a ball buster too, except for that chorus. Well, maybe Hate Train would be good there.
Yeah.
I'm kind of talking myself out of the very thing I'm saying right now.
No, I mean, I think overall, I mean, Hell and Back is a, it's a really good song. I hate saying that it's my least favorite on this, but you know, it's tough when there's only four tracks on the whole damn thing.
Well, there's got to be one, you know?
There has to be one. Always has to be one. But yeah, I mean, that's not to say that it's a great song. It has great riffs and there's good feel in the song and the dynamics of this song I love. I feel like a lot of the parts in the song, they were really stretching themselves and trying some new random things.
Yeah, I think so too. And that may be one of the reasons that it didn't quite make it to the actual record, is maybe they were being a little more experimental with these.
Yeah.
The solo's great. The subject matter's pretty, you know, I take this song to be about his alcohol addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so.
When she starts calling, I feel my darkness grow within, and I go straight to hell and back when I'm alone, and all that stuff.
Heavy stuff, man.
Pretty heavy. How interesting is it, though, that this is the one that kind of lived? Like, they've played this song live more than they've played Unforgiven 3.
Wow, that's crazy.
They played
this
song 16 times live.
16 times, okay. Well, I mean, you know, you can only imagine that lyric content like this might be really have been at the time, especially really important to Hetfield.
Right.
Really attached to this song, really attached to what he wrote. And I wouldn't doubt that he headed that up, that, hey, I want to keep playing this, you know, up to 16 times, whatever his decision was, you know, just to sing it out to fans maybe that are struggling with the same thing he struggled with. Maybe he felt it was something that fans needed to hear more live in that regard. But
well, you can the Met Boys, the Met Club people over at their HQ or whatever, they've released one of the like an official Met video of them doing it at the Rock M Ring
festival. Yeah.
And it's worth checking out, because you know that they mix those well, and it's big mic and it's loud and good, and they seem real comfortable with it.
Yeah,
the 30th anniversary shows are actually kind of rough shows for me, because the vocally James isn't great, and it's just kind of the nature of it's more loosey goosey.
But it's cool
seeing Helen back like on a big deck at a real show where they've got it really dialed in.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen that version of it at Rock Am Ring, but I need to check that out.
Is it called Rock Am Ring?
Rock, I've done both those festivals. Usually people call them Rock Am Ring or Rock Am Ring, either one. I've heard both. I always called them Rock Am Ring, Rock Am Park.
It's real not easy to say.
It's real not am easy to say.
All right,
and King thinks that you can say it however you want.
King. Rebel of Babylon.
Rebel, grip your bottle tight, just float away. Rebel, is it hard to leave? What makes you stay? Go take your poison ink, sign life away. Then take your dirty spoon and dig your grave. Dig your grave.
Love it.
I do too. It's
tough.
My favorite.
Yeah, I think it is my favorite. And you know what? I don't mind the length.
See, that's what I'm saying.
It's really, really long. It's the longest one on this EP, but like you know when it goes to that down part in the middle and it almost sounds like a wholly different song?
Yeah, well, I wrote, I love the mellow droning down thing.
Yeah. Even today when I was re-listening to this, when that happened, in my head I thought, oh, this is the next track.
Yeah.
Even though it was the last track still. And I was, oh, wait, no, it's not.
Well, there's like 7 or 8 major sections to this song. Mm-hmm. My only thing I wonder, I mean, I'll take Rebel of Babylon as it is any day. I'm fine with it. But I wonder if like it could have been made into two songs.
Probably. Like, I mean,
take 4 of the riffs and put it in this one and 3 of the other, because they're all such good moments.
Yeah. I mean, the boys are, you know, especially Lars and James are known for compiling all these riffs that James writes and stuff and kind of piecing things together. Like, oh, this would fit good with this. You know, I feel like they did that 9 times on this one song.
Which is also kind of classic Metallica, because there's there's a lot of meter change too.
Yes. Which is very cool.
It's pretty
They haven't done a ton of that over the years.
No. There's not even really a ton of that on Hardwired.
Yeah, totally.
There's not a ton of these left turns, because some of the riffs are real load reload ish.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are kind of thrashy.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, there's some really good thrash stuff on this one. Some Kill 'Em All type shit.
He says after they play it on that 30th anniversary show, they played it on the 5th.
Yeah.
James actually says, he says, people ask us what the lyrical inspiration for Death Magnetic is. And he said, in particular, Rebel of Babylon, he actually was thinking about Layne Staley.
Wow. And, I don't remember seeing that. Wow, it's crazy.
And because there's that lyric that's take your dirty spoon and dig your grave.
Wow. Wow.
And he talks about like our fallen brothers and sisters in rock and roll and people who get sort of caught up in the life and
taken totally
away. I mean, he meant it from a nice place, but the song takes a pretty brutal stance on it. The song, there's a lot of anger in the song.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, you know, I mean, when it comes to something like that, with someone so close to you that like takes their life like that, you know, a guy like Layne Staley, where it was very dark, where he was gone and dead in his apartment for 2 weeks before anybody found him. It was
right.
It's I would imagine as someone who was close to that guy, it's hard not to be angry at the same time as you're sad. Like how could you do this to, we all love you, you know?
Well, so I've got friends who struggle. I've got friends who struggle with addiction, maybe not heroin, but. It is a tough spot to be in when you feel helpless. Yeah. You really can't help someone you really care about.
Yeah, totally.
I think anger is pretty a healthy part of that.
For sure, yeah.
Well, man, I would say if I had to rank the record, it would be just the opposite of the track list. Rebel of Babylon, Hell and Back, Bullet Away, Hate Train. That would be my order.
I think I'd do Rebel of Babylon, Hate Train, Just a Bullet Away, Hell and Back.
And you would give up Suicide and Redemption for the one. Where would you put some of these if because, you know, Death Magnetic's only 10 tracks. I could see putting two of these on without having to take anything away. 14 may be a stretch, but
yeah. Hate Train could definitely be like towards the top of the record for sure.
I was going to say, or maybe like track one of side B, you know.
Yeah, cuz it's a great opener on this.
Cuz it's a good opener, yeah.
Yeah, and that's always a good way to think about records, too. I know a lot of bands that are kind of like old school and have been around for a long time when they were still vinyl was in its heyday. A lot of bands order their record. My bands have done this. Whether you're doing vinyl or not, they order it like a side A and a side B, and I'm sure Metallica does that, too.
Oh, yeah. I recently watched at a Pearl Jam show on the Lightning Bolt tour in Milwaukee, just so they sort of randomly played the whole Yield record front to back in the middle of their set.
That's so cool.
And when they got to whatever the song is, MFC or Wishlist, whatever, Eddie actually said in the microphone, "All right, let's flip to the flip the record."
Yeah, let's play side B.
He made an allusion to it even just live because he.
That's
you know,
so bad. That's so bad.
Which I come from that school too. I mean, I definitely still see records as sides. I still like to listen to records as a piece of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
In a sequence.
Yep.
I don't think it's right or wrong, but I do think for you kids out there. It's a more rewarding experience because these people sit down and sequence records and do the car test and they listen to them and a lot of thought and care goes into the sequence of a record.
Yeah, for sure.
Most of the time.
You know what could be a cool little insert for Death Magnetic with two of these songs is after all, at the end of side A, after All Nightmare Long, you could put Helen back right there and then start side A with Hate Train.
Yeah.
Little Beyond Magnetic sandwich right there with Death Magnetic bread. I think I'd eat that.
I'm hungry suddenly.
Is it vegan? That's my only question.
Well, what you do is you...
I don't know if I know the voice really anymore.
Well, what you do is you put the Beyond Magnetic in it, and then you put the sandwich, it's like bread, with the Death Magnetic bread on the side. But you don't put meat on it, no. You put seitan, and you put tofu, but you don't do the meat.
I just want to know, is the bread gluten-free?
There's absolutely no gluten was used, and no animals were harmed at the making of the death slash Beyond Magnetic sandwich.
Great. I will listen to it and eat it for breakfast.
Oh, it's a breakfast sandwich, huh?
I mean, ain't nothing wrong with eating dinner for breakfast or breakfast for dinner, man. We're anarchists here. We'll do whatever the fuck we want, man.
When I was a kid and I would come in and I would see that my mom was making breakfast for dinner, I would get so pissed off because I felt like it was a ripoff.
Really? Dude, I was the opposite. If my mom was like, or dad was like, you guys want some eggs and toast and bacon for dinner? We're like, oh my God, we're getting breakfast for dinner. This is amazing.
This is the greatest night of my life.
It's the best thing to ever happen to me. Eggs for dinner.
Should we talk about what we got coming up? Do we even know what's coming up?
We don't really have much of a game plan. I mean, we know that we got a St. Anger episode coming up soon. We have to set a date for release that one. But Yeah, it's been, it's, I think as we talked about before, I went to California for almost a week to visit my grandpa's in the hospital. And so things were kind of hectic. And from right there, I went straight into like rehearsals and tour. And so Clint and I haven't really gotten able to sit down and like kind of plan out some stuff here. So, but I kind of like that because I like the element of surprise and I like being able to, you know, surprise our fans with some cool content.
The element of the surprise.
Element of the surprise when I swoop down on my carpet and surprise you from behind and say, hello, it's Torben.
Well, then we'll just end by reiterating some of the stuff from the top. If you want a shot at winning that the Master of Puppets Deluxe box set, all you got to do is head over to iTunes, leave us a positive review. It's quick, it's easy, it's beautiful. Breezy, beautiful gorgeous. Cover girl.
Mate, it's gorgeous.
If you would like to interact with us throughout the week, we're on Twitter and we're on Facebook and Instagram. All that crap.
Hashtag socials. Hashtag eggs.
Social hashtag vegan socials.
Send us an email at Metal Up Your Show. Oh, God damn it.
Metal Up Your Show. Oh,
send us an email at podjam.com.
Podjamupyourshowcast.org.
All right. It's Metal Up Your Podcast Show at gmail.com. We'll read it on the thing. And check out the Patreon if you want access to all the good, fun stuff that will make your
please.
Life happier and better.
Yeah.
And as usual, for all of you who listen every week, gosh, we sure do appreciate it.
We do. Very much so. And we can't thank you enough for always supporting us. And we'll see you next week, guys, right?
Yeah. All right. Peace.
Adios.
If you were our advisor, what would you say? Then I would say, delete that.